Hi everyone, welcome to Training with Casey, where we explore animal training and living our best lives with animals. I'm Joseph Laughlin, producer of this podcast, and now, here's your host, Casey Covert. Let's get started.
Hey, it's Casey Covert, and let's chat about food and training. I just saw a post that actually kind of upset me. It was from a colleague I consider a friend. And he was saying what you can't do if you train animals with food. You can't solve certain problems. You don't have real reliability. And more. That the only reason that dolphin trainers could get the dolphins to do things is because they were locked into pools and they all the food was totally controlled. Now I want to talk to you about this. This is just total misrepresentation of dolphin training, and it needs to be challenged. When people did not understand as much about animals and motivation as we do now, there were a few individuals that did try to use food to coerce dolphins and sea lions to do what they wanted them to do. We ended up with a few sea lions with stunted growth as a result. You know why? It doesn't work. A sea lion is one of the most food-motivated animals I've ever worked with. If they won't do what you want for food, I don't know who will. Fact is, if you have a great relationship with the animal, if you do interesting things, if you have fun together, the food is a grace note. Yes, we do use food all the time. We have to feed the animal anyway. Might as well put it to good use. And it's fun. Don't you like to go out and have food with your friends? But it's not the end all and the be all. So there's a video at similia.com/press of Jordy the rhino. And Jordy's treats consisted of his everyday fruits and vegetables. And I don't know if it'll be obvious the way I edited the video, because I wasn't trying to show this at the time, but Jordy would repeatedly drop certain food, and it took me a while to catch on. So when he dropped this food, I would say, orange, orange on the ground, your orange is down there, your orange is there, and then he'd eventually pick it up and eat it. And I did eventually catch on to the fact that he didn't really like the oranges. And I believe he just picked them up, so I would go on to the next subject. It was easier to placate me and eat the orange than it was to wait for me to figure out. He didn't want it. As a matter of fact, Jordy didn't want to get his abscess flushed, but he did it anyway. And once he finished experiencing us blowing air into the abscess using a syringe with a tube, then it was time to fill the syringe with water and do it again so that he could now study the difference when you switch the air for the water. The goal was to be able to flush his abscess with 50% betadine, 50% water to start fighting off the infection under his horn. When I went, it was just a few feet, you know, like 6 or 8 feet to the right side of where we were standing to get to the sink to then fill the syringe with water. And as I walked away to do that, and in the video, you're not going to see me go to the sink. You're going to see the camera on Jordy, but you may see Jordy go like this after me. And just be ready to completely leave his food. Why? Why would Jordy leave the trainer that he knows and loves to follow the person he just met? And maybe it's because I may be the first person to really treat Jordy like an intelligent adult who deserves to know what we want to do with his body, who owns the body and needs to be the one to give permission to do that. And you're going to see in that video that at a certain point, Jordy doesn't want to get the abscess flush and he turns his head away. And I mirror him. I turn my head in the opposite direction. I wait for a moment and then I turn back to him. I say, I'm not going to take it from you. You have to offer it. And he comes back and he's such a guy. He doesn't want to. It's like he can't bring himself to just bring his nose up so I can just put the syringe in. But he does kind of come around and just sit there and he looks up at me a couple of times like this, like, are you doing it? Are you doing it? So I do it just for an instant so he can experience it and see, yes, that's all we want to do. That's what it feels like. It's not harmful. It's not painful. We were off to the races. Imagine if you were being kept by aliens and they were very kind, but they never spoke to you. They never told you what they were going to do. They never explained what was going to happen. They never decoded your environment or anything that happened around you. They just figured it wasn't important for you to know or understand. Can you see why this is lifeblood to an animal that's living amongst humans? This is really, really important. So when you are training animals, you're going to probably find, as I do, that information is way stronger in general to use than food. But there are some requirements. And one is you have to be fluent. So what's fluent? Well, you have to interact at the speed of communication. That's pretty fast. Do you remember when you studied a foreign language and let's say you knew 200 words, and then you're going to hear a conversation where they use those 200 words. Do you remember where you couldn't even recognize those words as you heard them being spoken? That you really had to practice and study to be able to hear the words. And then it was another process entirely to learn how to say the words. And that's what it takes for communication. Communication, for it to be effective, develops so that it flows at the speed that's most appropriate for your neural system. If I tell you, I'll tell you the most important thing about animal training. Are you ready? I've been doing this for 40 years. Maybe it's an important thing. Here's what it is. Are you still with me? If not, why not? I told you I was going to tell you the most important thing. It's not that people have a bad attitude about it. It's that when communication flows too slowly, you naturally lose your focus. And that's what happens with the animals. You have to master the vocabulary and master how to deliver it in real time at a speed that keeps the animal interested, and that's fluency. So, a number of times when I've worked with animals at seminars, people will present and they've got an animal that's too aroused to eat, or they've got an animal that has a vet condition and he can't be fed at that time, or whatever. There could be any kind of, maybe the animal just ate. And over again, people will say, oh, you won't be able to work my dog because he's not going to eat. Over and over again, I've said, may I approach your dog? And I will just go and start talking to the dog and showing him things. I'll start with the bridges and the targets. Then I'll go to body parts and directions. Oh my gosh, the dogs get so excited to be given the explanation of all these things, to get what they thought they knew about it confirmed, to be treated like an intelligent, significant member of the conversation. This is huge. Well, going to my own foreign language experience, it's kind of like when my Dutch friends took me to the Dutch restaurant and explained, kip is chicken. Oh, now I know these are all chicken dishes. And champignon are mushrooms. And slaw is salad. Oh my gosh. All of a sudden, the menu was exciting. It was exciting, not because it was such a great menu. It was exciting because now I know what the menu means. They opened up a whole world for me just by teaching me some of the things of communication. So let's get back to using food. We do use food, and food is a great thing to use, but it's not good to make it more important than it is. It's not great to teach the animal to be obsessed with it. It's definitely not good to give the animal a sense of being entitled to whatever food you have. And this happens quite frequently, and in particular with horses. If you feed the horses for everything they do, many, many people have problems with the horses becoming aggressive over food. Now, when you see me work with my horses, there's absolutely no aggression. In fact, if my finger accidentally gets into Sarah's mouth, I'll feel her tongue push it back out. She's that careful. She has never chomped down on my fingers. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And she certainly will not bowl me over to get food. She doesn't go through my pocket. She doesn't even attempt it. And she will sometimes. I'll show her a ginger ball. That's kind of her favorite. Look at here. Here's a ginger ball. And she'll come in real close and sniff it and lick it like she's savoring it. Like, oh, that's a really great ginger ball. And I'll say, wait, I've got to open it for you. And I'll do that and I'll give it to her. And the anticipation and so on is just part of our fun together. We make the most of our ginger balls. But she never grabs the ginger ball. She never risks my finger. She never tries to take it. And neither does a fair. Now, as a matter of fact, if you have a horse or any animal that's being impolite and pushy where food is concerned, it generally just takes a couple of sessions to correct that entirely. And what I like to do with animals right from the very start is teach them not to take the food unless I say the word please. So I could have food standing right there in front of them like so, and that doesn't mean it's their food. It doesn't, even if they pick it up out of my hand, it's still not their food. Because it's not their food until I say bleep. And the reason for that is, let's say I had some food in my hand. I realized, oh my gosh, there's a nail in there. I don't want that animal taking that food yet. I need to make it safe. Or let's say I'm preparing medication for a different animal. And this animal comes up, oh, I'd like that, and takes it. That's not good either. So I need to teach the animals ahead of need that we have manners around food. And that food, even if it's presented in a bucket or in an open hand, is not your food until you are told, Sarah, leap. Okay? And I'll teach that by saying, I have food, but this is no. And I'll put my hand over it. No. And if the horse tries to get in there, I'll just close my hand. Exit, tick, 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 leap. Okay, off, no, good, 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 good. Off, no, good, 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 bleep. Next thing you know, the horse is very careful about waiting till they hear the word bleep to get the food. Okay, so I tell you that food is not controlled the way that this one dog trainer seemed to think it was when it comes to marine mammal training or any exotic animal training. I told you that, yes, we do train with food because it's part of the whole experience. But actually, I find the information is just as important and sometimes more important. We need to be able to train without food. That's extremely important. We need to teach manners where food is involved, and we need to make sure the animal doesn't have a sense of efficiency. Now, if you doubt me on any of these things, you can watch the video that I was just telling you about where we taught, or we asked Sarah to demonstrate how we teach the bridges and the target, and the horses were eating. And as soon as I came up and started talking to them, they started interacting with me and helping me make the video. Not only Sarah, but Affair left her grazing and came over to watch what we were doing. I didn't ask her to. She was just interested. Now, let's transfer that to some of my colleagues or transfer that idea to looking at some of my colleagues that work with marine mammals in the open ocean. So, you know how the Navy SEAL team works with dolphins and other marine mammals? Well, guess where they're working? In the open ocean. What's in the open ocean? Food. Handsome and beautiful other animals. Sharks. Freedom. Distractions. Complications. The animal's surrounded by food. He's surrounded by everything. He goes off, and without anyone to make him do anything, he'll do a chain of behaviors, 28 behaviors long, without any direct supervision. They're amazing. And you know what? Last time I checked, in the entire history of the program, only one animal had gone missing. And I don't think they ever knew why. The animal could have been killed by another animal or something else. In other words, these animals working in the open ocean are dedicated to their jobs and to their trainers. And they come back, even though they could leave and be totally free. So the next time you hear somebody trying to tell you that animals that live and work with people are abused and exploited and so on and so forth, remember that we have plenty of cases where we can show you that the animals choose being with us over being back in the wild. And they love working with us just as much as we love working with them. Okay, so food is a good thing. Food makes it easier for new trainers to start training effectively because, sorry to say, it's an advanced training skill for you to become fluent with communication. So until you get there, you're probably going to depend on food more. I certainly never lure anything. I'm not interested. I feel like it's a just false economy. anything that you can lure an animal to do, I can target them to do in the same or less time. And I want to check as I go and make sure that the animal understands what he's doing. And he's not just rotely going through a pattern that he went through 50 times to follow food. I don't actually want a very much rote behavior at all. If I want anything, you know, it's like, if I tell you drop it, drop it. If I tell you stop, stop. If I tell you wait, wait. Other than that, I don't want rote behavior. I'm not going to call an animal and tell them to come to me and want them to come no matter what, because maybe between the time that I call them and the time they get to the road to cross it to come back to me, a car is coming. I don't want absolute obedience there. I want the animal to think and to act with reason. And what I'm more likely to do than call an animal across the road is ask them to just stop and wait, and I will go to them. Okay, so just some things to think about, and let's get some things corrected with what it's like to work with exotic animals and with marine mammals. We do amazing things together. It is not coercive or it's fun, and the animals love it. And I can give you so many examples. Remember the Katrina dolphins that volunteered to come back into captivity when they were free and running around in the the Gulf of, what the heck is the name of that? Gulf of Mexico? Anyway, you know where I'm talking about. All of a sudden, I can't remember the name of that body of water. Anyway, my otters at the National Zoo used to get out all the time. People would tell me, and I go running out to see them. And they were always in their exhibit. I'd get to the exhibit, and they'd be right at the door, and they'd be like, hey, Casey, what are we doing now? Well, Max, Emily, somebody said you were out. No, we're right here. Yeah, I see that. One day, I actually saw them myself. They were on top of the exhibit running around. Oh, my heart fell. I thought, oh my goodness, it's been true all these times. Well, I better go in and start seeing about how they got out. By the time I got in that exhibit, they were both back in. Hi, Casey, la, la, la. They came and went as they pleased, and I never even knew because they liked me and I liked them. And every time I appeared, they would run to be there with me, not because I'm giving them food, but because we like each other and we do fun things together. And I did feed them also, but when I went to check them, I didn't have any food at all. Now, they just wanted to be there. They wanted to see what was going on. All right. Working with animals is, or at least it can be, amazing. Do not accept anything less than your best life with animals. And I think you're going to find SATS is a fantastic way to get there. Take care.
Hey fans, are you enjoying Training with Casey? Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Casey Covert on YouTube. That is youtube.com/C/Casey Cover. Also, give the podcast a like, share, and comment. Thanks for joining us. Come back for more news and views on animal training and living with animals. Stay at the top of the pack with Casey. This is Joseph Laughlin, producer of Training with Casey. See you next time.